We will now talk about the Torah portion, and what I will say, of course, is turn with me, if you will, to the place where it begins. And it's the book of Numbers, Bamidbar in the Wilderness, chapter 16, starting at verse 1. And the story in English says, "Now Korach," now it's actually Korach, "son of Ichar, son of Kohath, son of Levi," so he is of the line of the Levites, "of Dathan and Abiram," along with those other folks, Dathan and Abiram, "sons of Eliab and On, son of Pelet, sons of Reuben," all of these guys got together, and they took men, and they rose up in the face of Moshe. In other words, they fomented a rebellion. And that's part of the reason why I think this is interesting, and it's very timely that this would be a story of rebellion. On the other hand, this is a story more like the rebellion that took over Washington and then persecuted those who had a problem with it and showed up to try to exercise what they thought was their right to petition the government for a redress of grievance. What they didn't realize was this isn't a legitimate government, and they don't want to hear a redress of grievance, and they don't want to do anything except kill them, poke them, take away their weapons, and ultimately destroy them. So, the rebellion and a counter-rebellion and all that kind of stuff is happening currently. This was a rebellion against Yah, and if you think about it, that's what we're talking about here. That was the point of doing the news first. We have a rebellion, literally, against Yah in every conceivable way. They hate his economic system. They hate his people. They hate his word. They hate everything associated with what he says not to do, they will do, and vice versa. So, for example, if he says something is an abomination, like a man cross-dressing, or much less cutting off his whatever, and taking hormones and pretending to be something he's not, all of those things, they will not only do, they'll make them politically correct and ostracize and literally destroy people for daring to say no. And they'll take their kids, too. All right, so with that, what I'm going to do is actually start a couple verses earlier, because I think it's interesting the way the last Torah portion ended. And when you turn to chapter 16, you probably will see this on the facing page, if at least your Bible's laid out so that the facing page is on the left side. It's talking about people who have, quote, despised the word of Yahuwah, broken his commandments. Well, what's going to happen to them? They're utterly cut off. Can you think of anything more appropriate than people who despise the word of Yah? Literally, folks, they run the swamp. They are marching on the streets of Seattle. They're killing kids. They're poison poking kids. They are grooming kids to be little abominations. They are engaged in pedophilia. They're doing bestiality. You name it. If it's sick, if it's perverted, if it's anti-scripture, they're doing it. If it's in accord with the rule of law, they're destroying it. Talk about a rebellion. There you go. Okay, so I mentioned how the parsha begins. Korah. It gives his lineage here. He is of the sons of Levi. So he is a Levite of the line of Kohath. They rose up in the face of Moshe, along with certain others among the B'nai Israel. 250 men, various princes of the congregation, elect men of the assembly, men of renown. So let's see what they did. Story says they assembled themselves together against Moshe and against Aaron, and they said, "Hey, you take too much upon yourself, seeing all of the congregation, Kol Edah, are set apart, every one of them." Well, some of them are going to be more set apart than others, I think we're going to see here. "And Yahuwah is among them. Why do you lift yourselves up above the assembly of Yahuwah?" Hey, isn't this a democracy? We found out in the recent Torah portion what happens when you have a vote, and the vote is not only not sanctioned, it goes against Yah. Doesn't work out so well. But these people don't seem to learn from history, even recent mistakes. "So Moshe heard it. He fell on his face. He spoke to Korah and all his company. He said, 'Look, in the morning Yahuwah is going to show you who are his, and who is holy, set apart, kadosh, and he will cause to come near unto him those he wants, even him whom he may choose, will he cause to come near unto him.'" So he's going to decide, he'll choose, you'll see. "This is what you need to do. Take your censers, Korah, and all his company, put some fire in them, put the incense upon them before Yahuwah tomorrow, and it'll be that the man whom Yahuwah chooses, that one, he shall be holy. You, in fact, you take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi." So Moshe said unto Korah, Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it really a small thing unto you that the Elohim of Israel has separated you from among the congregation of Israel? So what he's saying here is, hey, listen, you know, you are complaining because you don't get to be the head honcho, it sounds like. And in fact, you got a pretty darn good job. You have been set apart. No, you're not the number one. You don't get to carry the holy stuff, but you're, you don't get to go in. You don't get to do the high priest and the Kohanim work, but you get a pretty good job. You've been separated from Kol Edah of the B'nai Israel, and you get to bring near to himself to the service of the Mishkan, the tabernacle of Yahuwah, and stand before the congregation and minister unto them. What are you complaining about? And he has brought you near, and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you. Are you going to seek the priesthood too? Is that what you're asking? So therefore, you, all your company, have now gathered together against Yahuwah. And as to Aaron, well, who is he really that you murmur, whine against him? So Moshe sent to call Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and they said, We ain't going to come up. Is it a small thing? Now this is the sons of Eliab speaking here. Is it a small thing that you have brought us out? Listen to this. This is literally rubbing his and the creator of the universe's face. You're going into a land of milk and honey. What do they say? Is it a small thing you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us here in the wilderness? But now you need to make yourself a prince over us? Moreover, you haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor have you given us inheritance and fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We ain't going to come up. As you might expect, it says, Moshe was kind of peeved. He was very wroth. And he said to Yahuwah, Do not respect their offering. I haven't taken so much as one ass from them, nor have I hurt one of them. And then he said unto Korah, You and all your congregation, be there before Yahuwah, you and they, and Aaron, tomorrow. You take every man his fire pan, put incense on him, and bring you before Yahuwah every man his fire pan, 250 fire pans. I want to see them all here. You also and Aaron, each his fire pan. So every man did it. They took their fire pan, they put fire in them, laid incense, stood there at the door of the Mishkan, tent of meeting, with Moshe and Aaron. So here we have the showdown at the Mishkan Corral, right there in front of the tent of meeting. Korah assembled all of the congregation against them into the door of the tent of meeting, and the glory of Yahuwah appeared unto all of the congregation. So Yah is there. His glory is going to appear. Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and unto Aaron. Right away we kind of get a tip off, don't we? He said, move away. Here's how he put it. Separate yourselves from among this congregation. Ha-idah. That I might just consume them in a moment. Moshe and Aaron. You know, and this is also telling. Did they say, oh yeah, we'll move over here. You just whack them. Nope. They fell on their faces and they said, O Elohim, Elohim of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin? And will you be wroth with all Kol Ha-Edah, the whole congregation? One man sins? You going to punish everybody? Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe and he said, Speak unto Ha-Edah. Speak to the congregation. You know, those ones that have now formed up against you and say, Get up! Get up from around the dwellings of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. And what's interesting here is, speak unto the congregation and tell them, Get up from around the Mishkan. Literally, get up from around the Mishkans of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Funny that he would use this word in this sense, right? It's arguably making the point. There's a Mishkan, and then there's their Mishkan. Let's not be confused here. They're not the same. He spoke unto the congregation. He said, Depart, I pray you, from the tents, the ohel, of these wicked men. Don't touch anything of their stuff, lest you be swept away in all of their sins. We've heard this before, right? Touch not the unclean thing. Come out of her. Be separate. Come to think of it, folks, part of the reason why I talked about the declaration is because that was the essence of the declaration they came out of. They said, we are going to withdraw our consent. We don't want to be part of what's going on there, this tyranny. And we're going to declare why, but we're separating ourselves. Okay, so, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. Don't touch their stuff, lest you be swept away in all their sins. So, folks got up. They got up from around the dwelling of Korah and Dathan and Abiram on every side. Dathan and Abiram came out. They stood at the door of their tents. You can kind of picture this, can't you? I think these guys know something that they're not going to like is coming down. They stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little ones, their whole famdamilies. Moshe said, "Hereby you shall know that Yahuwah has sent me, to do these works." You're going to see something. "And that I have not done them of my own lev," literally my own levi, my heart. I didn't make them up. "If nothing happens to these guys, if these men die the common death of all men, and be visited after visitation of all men," in other words, if things happen as you'd expect them to, "then Yahuwah hasn't sent me. But, on the other hand, if Yahuwah makes a new thing, and the ground opens up her mouth," Adama, right? That's the ground, Ha-Adama. I always think it's interesting when you see that terminology. "Opens up her mouth and swallows them up, whole, lock, stock, and barrel, them and everything that pertains to them, and they go down alive into Sheol." Literally, that's the word that's used here. "The pit, death. Then you shall understand that these men have provoked, despised Yahuwah." Pretty serious. "So, it came to pass, as he finished speaking these very words, that the ground, in fact, did cleave asunder beneath them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up." This is what I'd call a pretty dramatic demonstration of real authority versus rebellion. "Them, their households, all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all of their stuff, all their goods, the whole smash. And they and all that pertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed her mouth upon them. And they perished from among the assembly," the kahal. "And all Israel that were round about them fled, as they cried and shrieked as they fell into their death, saying, 'Oh, lest the earth swallow us up too.' Then fire came forth from Yahuwah and devoured the rest of the rebellion, 250 men that offered the incense." Kind of similar, folks, but arguably more graphic even than the strange fire that took the two oldest sons of Aaron. Chapter 17 says this: "After that, Yahuwah, he then spoke unto Moshe, and he said, 'Speak unto Eleazar, son of Aaron of the Kohen, tell him to take up the fire pans that have been through that burning, and scatter the fire out yonder.'" Now they are set apart. They have been set apart. They've been made holy. "Even the fire pans of these men who have sinned at the cost of their very lives. And let's do the following. We're going to let them be made into beaten plates for a covering of the altar," because they have become holy, set apart, because they were offered before Yahuwah. In other words, it's not anything the men did. It's the fact that they were offered before Yahuwah. "This may be a sign, an oat, unto the B'nai Yisrael." Eleazar the priest took the brazen firebrands, the bronze firebrands, that they had, they that were burnt had offered in, and they beat them out for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the B'nai Israel, to the end that no common man, these were presumptuous folks, that is not of the seed of Aaron, notice, not even Levi, but the seed of Aaron, draw near to burn incense before Yahuwah, that he doesn't fare, turn out the same way as Korah, he and his company, as Yahuwah spoke unto him by the hand of Moshe. But on the morrow," in other words, the next morning, "Kol Idat," all the congregation. This is like, I read this stuff and I think, oh, well, you know what? You look at the world today and you go, insanity, it's not new. There's a whole lot of really stupid people, and it seems to go way, way back. Here you go. "The next morning, all of the children of Israel murmured against Moshe and Aaron." Ready for this? "You have killed the people of Yahuwah." Good grief. And it came to pass, when the congregation was assembled against Moshe and against Aaron, they looked towards the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of Yahuwah appeared. Moshe and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe, and he said the following, "Get yourself up from among this congregation." Can you see where this is headed already, folks? "Get yourself up from this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." This is a similar wording to what we just finished hearing yesterday, and these people haven't learned a thing. And they, Moshe and Aaron, fell upon their faces. Moshe said to Aaron, "Get your fire pan, run, man, run!" Okay, he didn't put it that way, but you get the idea. You can picture this. I want to set the stage here. Moshe said to Aaron, "Take your fire pan, put fire from off the altar, lay incense on it, and carry it quickly, and I mean quickly, dude, into the congregation. Make atonement for them, for there is wrath that has gone out from before Yahuwah. The plague has begun." Now, I love this scene. I love the metaphor, and you can imagine Aaron is hurrying. Aaron took, as Moshe spoke, he ran right smack into the midst of the assembly. Behold, the plague was begun. They were dropping like flies, folks. He put on the incense, he made atonement for the people, and he literally ran and stood between the living and the dead. And the plague was stayed. I like to use the word cauterized. You ready for this? This is how big this thing was. You can picture, if you've ever seen one of those great big domino things where the dominoes all just kind of fall. They that died by the plague. This is while Moshe is telling Aaron, "Run, man, run." And he grabs a fire pan and gets out there. They that died by that plague, 14,700. How long did it take Moshe and Aaron to do this? You know, was it seconds? Probably a few minutes. 14,700. That's beside those that were already dead, the 215 plus the other rebels. Aaron then returned unto Moshe at the door of the tent of meeting, and the plague was stayed. So he's probably catching his breath a little bit here. Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe, and he said, "Speak unto the B'nai Israel, tell them, take rods, one for each of their father's houses, all of the princes according to their father's houses, 12 rods, one for each of the 12 tribes. Write every man's name upon his rod, his staff. Now, write Aaron's name upon the rod for the house of Levi. There'll be one rod for the head of each of the father's houses. And you're going to lay them up in the tent of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. And it'll come to pass that the man whom I shall choose, his rod shall bud. And I'll make to cease from me the murmurings, the whining of the B'nai Israel, that they murmur against you." So Moshe spoke to the children of Israel, and the princes all gave them their rods, one for each house, according to their father's houses, 12 of them. And the rod of Aaron was among them. So Moshe did as he was told. He laid up the rods before Yahuwah in the tent of the testimony. The Ohel, the Mishkan, came to pass next morning that Moshe went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron, get this, this is another one of these great scenes, the rod of Aaron had budded. Not only had it budded, it had put forth buds and bloomed blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. That's what I'd call a real sign. Moshe brought out all the rods from before Yahuwah, before the children of Israel, and they looked, and every man took his own rod. I'm guessing a lot of them are looking at their kind of dead rods and going, "Huh, them almonds look a lot better than my rod." And then Yahuwah said to Moshe, "Put back the rod of Aaron before the testimony. Keep it there. This will be a token against the rebellious children, that there may be made an end of their murmurings against me, so that they die not." Thus Moshe did as Yahuwah commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel, do you think they're finally getting it? They spoke to Moshe, and they said, "Behold, we perish. We are undone. We are all undone. Everyone that comes near, the tabernacle of Yahuwah is to die. Shall we wholly perish?" Then Yahuwah said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the Torahlessness, the iniquity of the sanctuary." Ha Mishkan. And in this case, it's Ha Mikdosh. Mikdash. "You and your sons with you shall bear the Torahlessness of the priesthood, the Kohanim. And your brethren also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, bring thou near with you, that they may be joined unto you, and minister unto you, to thee, to thou, your sons within you, all these, before the tent of the testimony. They shall keep my charge and the charge of all of the ohel, of the tent of the Mishkan. Only they shall not come nigh unto the holy furniture and to the altar, that they die not, not you nor they. And they shall be joined unto you and keep the charge of the tent of meeting wherever and whatsoever the service of the tent may be. But a common man, has that been made clear now, a common man shall not draw nigh unto you. You shall keep charge of the kadosh things, the charge of the altar, and that there be no more wrath upon the B'nai Israel. And behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. We've heard this before. For you are given as a gift unto Yahuwah to do the service of the Mishkan, the tent of meeting. And you and your sons with you shall keep your priesthood. You shall be Kohanim in everything that pertains to the altar, and that within the veil you shall serve. I give you the priesthood as a service of gift. The common man that draws nigh shall be put to death. Yahuwah spoke to Aaron, and he said, behold, I have given you the charge of my heave offerings, all the hallowed things of the B'nai Israel. Unto you have I given them for a consecrated portion, to you and your sons, as a due forever. Olam. And by the way, that word is there, lechach, which is kind of like a hook, right? Forever. Olam. This shall be thine, yours, of the most holy things, reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, from every meal offering, from every sin offering, and every guilt offering of theirs, which they may render unto me, that is most holy. It's for you and for your sons. In the most holy place, or in a most holy place, you shall eat of them. Every male may eat thereof. It is to be set apart unto you. And this too is yours. The heave offering of their gift, even all the wave offerings of the B'nai Israel, I've given them unto you, to your sons, to your daughters, with you, as a due forever. Everyone that is clean in your house can eat from it. All the best too of the oil, all the best of the wine, of the corn, first part of them which they give unto Yahuwah, to you, in turn, have I given them. The first ripe fruits of all that's in their land which they bring to Yahuwah, that is yours. Everyone that is clean in your house may eat of thereof. And this is an interesting term. The word here in this verse 14 in Hebrew is cherem, which means devoted. Everything which is devoted in Israel shall be yours. Now, devoted is one of those words. Something can be devoted to, let's just say like the swamp, can be devoted to a pagan, fake god. But these are things that are devoted to the one real, true Elohim, to Yah himself. Everything that is devoted in Israel is yours. Everything that opens the womb of all flesh which they offer unto Yahuwah, man and beast, that's yours. Howbeit, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem. Don't sacrifice them, obviously. And the firstling of unclean beasts you shall redeem. Their redemption money, from a month old you shall redeem them, shall be, according to your valuation, 5 shekels of silver. After the shekel of the sanctuary, the same as 20 gerahs. But when it comes to an ox, the firstling, or of a sheep, or of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are set apart. They're kadosh. You shall dash their blood against the altar, and shall make their fat smoke for an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. The flesh of them shall be yours, as the wave breast, the right thigh, it is yours. The heave offerings of the set apart things, the children of Israel, those things that they offer to Yahuwah, I have given to you, to your sons and your daughters with you, as a due forever. He keeps repeating this. This is a due forever. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before Yahuwah unto you and to your seed with you. Yahuwah then said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them. I, in fact, am your portion and your inheritance among the B'nai Israel. And unto the children of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service, which they serve, the service of the tent of meeting. And henceforth, the B'nai Israel shall not come near the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin, and die. But it's the Levites alone that shall do the service of the tent of meeting. They shall bear their Torahlessness, their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the children of Israel, which they have set apart as a gift unto Yahuwah, have I given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore, I said to them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. So he is making the point several different ways, so there's no doubt about it here. The last part of the Parsha, the end of chapter 18, says, and Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, moreover, you shall speak unto the Levites and say to them, when you take of the B'nai Israel, the tithe, which I have given you, from them for your inheritance, then you shall set apart from that a gift to Yahuwah, even a tithe out of the tithe, so a tenth of the tenth. The gift which you set apart shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, as the fullness of the winepress. And also you shall set apart a gift unto Yahuwah of all your tithes which you receive from the B'nai Israel, and thereof you shall give the gift which is set apart unto Yahuwah to Aaron the priest. So it's a cut. I don't even want to say it this way. I almost said it's a cut for the big guy. It's 1% of 1% for the real Cohen, not to be confused with a mob boss. All right. Out of all that's given, you shall set apart all of that which is due unto Yahuwah, all the best thereof, the hallowed part out of it. And therefore you shall say unto them, when you set apart the best from it, then it shall be counted unto the Israelites as the increase of the threshing floor and as the increase of the winepress. And you may eat it in every place, you and your households, for this, it, is your reward in return for your service in the tent of meeting. And you shall bear no sin by reason of it, seeing that you have set apart from it the best thereof. And this is how the Torah portion ends. You shall not profane the holy things of the B'nai Israel, that you die not. So that is how the Torah portion ends. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this tomorrow. As you know, there are so many things coming together. But this whole idea of rebellion, I'm going to suggest there is a major study in contrasts here. And this concept of, because these people despise the word of Yah, doesn't all of this resonate, folks? Don't we see a rebellion here that honestly, if you think about it, it exceeds anything that Korah did, but I will suggest there is one difference. And this is one that I'm going to probably pray about and think about, and I ask you to pray about and think about it, even before we talk about some of these things tomorrow morning. When all of Israel is gathered together against Moshe, and they all came about this close, right? I got my fingers really close together, to getting whacked. And indeed, the next day, they did it again, and 14,000 plus of them did get whacked with a real plague, not to be confused with the Fauci flu that killed them fast. They had just seen the earth open her mouth. They were right there watching. And I'm thinking, you know, I think that's one of the big differences. Because I'm sure a lot of us are thinking, right, how much more obscene does what's going on in America and the world have to get? With Pride Month celebrating not just abominations, but abominations upon abominations. All of the things that they're doing literally carry the death penalty, and they're proud of it. And that's not all, right? Suffer not the little children to come unto me. They're killing the little children. They're lying about it. They're committing scientific fraud, spiritual fraud, economic fraud, you name it. It's all about death and murder and the most obscene things imaginable. And literally, they're setting new records of obscene imagination. Why, for crying out loud, why doesn't the earth open up and swallow Washington, D.C.? Why doesn't it swallow the People's Republic of California? The entire whoring state. Well, there are good people in there, but wait a minute. There were probably some good people standing there watching all of this, right? Why doesn't Yah move? Well, I'll give you at least one possible explanation. I'm going to pray that maybe we'll have some more ideas, and we'll talk about some of this tomorrow. But it was impossible to miss. What he did, every person saw. Is there anything that everybody's watching today? I mean, how many people would want to tune in and see a blithering idiot poop his pants and then lie through his teeth and, you know, maybe the best you can hope for is he'll misread the teleprompter? This is idiocy. They're not watching it. They're not watching corrupt heels in the air Harris. They're not paying much attention to any of this jazz. But what we saw then was impossible to miss. All were watching. I'm kind of wondering, if we see something where all are watching, is that the kind of thing that we'll want to pay close attention to? Again, just food for thought for now. But I urge you, pray about this, think about it, because we are watching a rebellion that in so many respects, obviously there are some differences, but in so many respects is a lot more along the lines of because they despise, truly despise the word of Yah than anything even we've seen in this element of Scripture. Again, food for thought.